with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. People with disabilities might think that camping and rough long-distance driving trips could be too challenging. But our guest today, John Hebblewhite from Freedom Across Australia, thinks otherwise. Now in its 29th year of operation, Freedom Across Australia first began as an initiative to encourage people with spinal injury to think outside their residential status. Now inclusive of all disabilities, this activity is made possible by volunteers with experience in many aspects of disability care. They pay their own way, with extra support and donations from community groups, in particular the Lions Club movement. Currently, funding allows for 2 buses, which are modified for disability and can carry 3 wheelchairs plus other passengers. Increasingly, Freedom Across Australia visits out-of-the-ordinary locations, coupled with distinctive challenges for everyone involved. Their duty of care involves setting programs that ensure safety, comfort, and, most importantly, a challenge to be involved for participant and volunteer. Apart from the long road trips, they organised weekend excursions and day-long fishing and whale-watching trips. John Hebblewhite's caring, practical and fun-loving approach is evident in his conversation today with Marnie Roper.
John, welcome to AbleQuest and thank you for joining us. Now, Freedom Across Australia is a travel opportunity for people with a disability. How did it start?
Well, basically its history is a unit manager at the now closed Lickham Hospital. The people I was looking after presented a challenge basically on how to improve their quality of life. Most of them were spinal injury, also with associated problems, mainly head injury. And after 2 years' consideration, we finally thought that we might do something to get them out of the hospital into a non-institutional setting. And we took our first tour to Mudgee in 1988, and the rest is history.
So it's been running for 30 years?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
How many people do you think you've taken on various trips over that time?
Oh, crikey. A rough guess would be around about, I'd say, 1,100 people.
That's just marvellous. And how did you get involved?
I thought of the idea. And when I thought of the idea, I went basically in a discussion with people to see what measure of support I could get. And it came very strong from hospital personnel and also from the Auburn Lictum Lions Club. And the Lions to this day continue to be our strong supporters. And currently we're an official activity of the Gosford East Lions Club. And so we just chug along.
There's all sorts of tours available, but I think you aim to do 2 major trips per year. Tell us a little bit about those.
The trips vary from 2 to 4 weeks. We had more adventures back in 2005. We took a group around Australia for 9 weeks. The locations were varying in each state and territory, and some like Hobart we used as a base for short trips through Tasmania, or various tourist spots for overnight stays and day tours in various states. And so we just chug along, and if we get sufficient number of volunteers and they got extra time off, the tours can extend to 6 weeks. But normally, basically, it's 2 to 4 week trips.
And can go into other states as well, I take it?
Oh, yeah, we've covered every state in Australia over the... what are we going in now? Oh, 30 years. Yeah, over 30 years, we've covered virtually every state in Australia.
What's your favourite location?
Coorong in South Australia. Lovely spot.
And I know you've got a specially modified bus, or is it buses you've got now?
Yeah, we have 2 buses.
2 buses, yes. And tell us about that, about the modifications and how they can help.
Yeah, well, the 2 buses, they're both Toyota Cruisers, and they've been modified to take in a lockdown 3 wheelchairs each, with driver and 4 helpers, and there is room for usually about 8 people with disability. Of course, that's dictated by the number of helpers required, which is determined basically by what disability presents itself. And so the buses are virtually wheelchair-friendly, and they have all the necessary gadgets to make safe travel for people with disability.
You have a hoist?
Yeah, electric hoist on each bus, yeah.
And then I think sometimes you're taking a trailer as well, aren't you?
We have 2 trailers, yep, and the trailers take all the luggage and all things necessary for backup. Of course, on the back of each trailer is a kitchen. So anywhere in Australia, we can just stop by the roadside and serve up lunch or morning tea.
Is there 1 carer per participant?
It varies. Once we get a group together and we determine disability we've got to care for, but normally with 8 people, we take 4 carers.
And your driver?
Yeah, and the driver.
And is it the same driver? Drives?
If they're very long distance, we'll have 2 drivers.
Yep.
safety reasons again. Geese driver is roughly restricted to about 4 to 5 hours driving each day.
And what sort of accommodation is there on these trips?
Oh, we bunk down in various places. It can range from a bunkhouse through to halls and sometimes motels. Any time a Lions Club will assist us with meeting the hotel and motel costs. So we've had nights under canvas, and surprisingly, very positive response from a lot of people who enjoy this experience, many of them for the first time. And, of course, the rider, of course, is that all places must have disability access, and it's reasonably safe for us to bunk down for the night.
So you do go camping as well?
Yeah, we do go camping. Depending upon the group we're taking, some will respond to camping under canvas, others are a bit hesitant to to take it on. We determine that before we finally set off on the trip.
And I take it the Lions Club's a big supporter of you.
Around Australia, we use access to Lions Clubs. They help us find accommodation. Also, local community groups also help out. We let them know what's happening, what type of group we've got, and from their feedback, say, yes, we can go there.
And apart from the kitchen on the back of the trailer, how's the catering done?
Catering is basically in the evenings, Lions Club barbecues, or our own barbecue, morning and afternoon tea on the trips, and lunch somewhere nice. We've got a full kitchen there, and so we can serve up and really enjoy ourselves no matter where we are.
And the volunteers are helping with that as well, are they?
The volunteers, when they come, they're involved in the whole thing from where to go in terms of setting up base and dismantling base, looking after touring activities during the day, catering, healthcare in terms of assuring that medications are taken, general hygiene, showering, washing and what have you, keeping clothes clean and all the usual things that go with taking people on holiday.
You talked about the very long trip around Australia. What other trips have you done or been involved with?
Oh, over the years, we've done trips to, like this year, we took a group over the Snowy Mountains, went down through Cooma, up over Snowy Mountains out to Omeo, and back up the coast through the Pacific Highway. The second trip we did this year, we went up to Maryborough and out to Fraser Island. And from Fraser Island, they went out whale watching, and we came back. The year before, we did a trip to Darwin and back, and a trip to Perth and back. So it goes on.
And any really out-of-the-ordinary places you've visited?
Oh, yeah, we go bonkers. We try and give these people an experience, mainly to encourage them to gain self-confidence and mainly let them to see the big wide world out there, which they can certainly be part of. That's the inverted commas, the vision, I suppose, that we work for. And it works reasonably well.
And what challenges are involved?
Challenges for them can be very interesting.
Or for you?
Oh, for us. The challenge is to provide an encouraging, enjoyable, safe trip so that people can gain a degree of self-confidence, that they themselves can enjoy a bit of sightseeing, which they wouldn't normally do, and to get them out of environmental situations. And when they come from home situations, basically to give the carer a chance to have a bit of a break while their people are away. And the challenge for the disability people themselves is that they rise to the occasion. Some do, some don't. That's a measure of how we assess whether the trip's been successful or not. They can range of such thing as a person simply choosing from the menu the meal they want to eat to form a clothes they want to put on for the day. So it can vary. Yeah.
You mentioned you've got wheelchairs you can lock in on the buses. Yeah. Do you cater for people with varying disabilities?
Yep. We range from people with mental deterioration, cerebral palsy, through to paraplegia, quadriplegia.
Vision impairment?
Yeah, visual impairment. Yes, the last trip this year we had two people with visual impairment. And, of course, they had to have one in terms of assisting them through various places. And it worked reasonably well.
And so the carer then sort of helps describe what you're seeing. Yep. And yes.
Well, the people we get to volunteer, we don't advertise. We do it all by word of mouth. And so when we're discussing a trip with people, we glean the measure of the carer in terms of the ability to meet the required obligations for looking after people on the trip. And that way we maintain what's called duty of care.
And apart from those longer tours, you also have shorter activities, don't you?
Yeah. It depends upon the number of volunteers we get for the year. Our two major ones, we have a very good deep-sea fishing company up at Swansea, based at Swansea, who gives us use of their boat. It's wheelchair-friendly, and we usually have about 4 fishing trips on Lake Macquarie. And sometimes when the whales are running, we'll take them out to see some whale watching. This year we're lucky, we ran into about 5 pods of whales about 12 miles out from Swansea. And the gang really had a great time with the whales for about 4 hours.
And are these weekend excursions?
Oh, they're usually during the week. The weekend excursions we have usually 2 or 3 a year. We used to centre them at the Glenfield Scout Camp, but the carer that looks after the people there, she's now virtually semi-retired. And her main base is Camp Coots Waterfall. So we have access to Camp Coots Waterfall through the Scouts Association. And there we give them experience under canvas. And it seems to work reasonably well.
Now, you've talked about these volunteers. Who are they mostly?
Volunteers are, we're a mad bunch, basically retired or semi-retired people. But we do have people who come from the workforce, and they usually utilise their annual leave to participate, which is great. Most have a background in disability care. And, of course, as I said before, we don't advertise. It's all by word of mouth. We seem to be able to recruit reasonably well. We manage to chug along each year. It's amazing how we do get the groups together. But once they're in there together, we look at them in terms of what they can offer for the trip. And they themselves are quite happy to be involved, both in terms of cost and workload. And we go from there.
What have you got planned for 2018?
2018? At the moment, we're on the drawing board at the moment. And, of course, it rests over Christmas and January. I'll be contacting various people. And at Charlton, Victoria, we have a paramedic who does the organising for the long-distance tours. I arrange the fishing trips, and a helper at Petersham, she arranges the weekend activities. And by roughly the end of January, February, we have a rough idea of how many volunteers we can draw on. And once we know where that, then we can organise what we plan. So initially, at the moment, we're aiming for 4 fishing trips, 1 whale cruise, 2 weekends and 2 long-distance tours, probably the first one 3 weeks and the second one 4 weeks.
You don't know where to yet?
I will sort that out.
Put you on the spot.
We were thinking in general conversation at our AGM, had a met last month, a trip down through Victoria, across to Adelaide and back up through the Murray Valley. And the other one we're thinking of is heading it once more across the Perth, across the Nullarbor. But again, that depends upon the volunteers we get, and we go from there.
Now, you're based in Sydney, but are the programs available in other states?
Basically, yes, they are available. We can pick up on tour, but we find that, what's the word, the response in Sydney sort of really restricts this ability for people. Although we have picked up people on the way through from Victoria and picked up people on the way through to Darwin in Queensland, but normally the buses are pretty full by the time they leave Sydney.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, John, how are you funded?
Good question. Money is the old... We managed to stay afloat, surprisingly, for years over the years. Work on a shoestring budget because each of us pay our own way as well as the people we take. And the Lions Club are great supporters, and they help us from time to time with funding. And every so often, like this year, our chairman, he arranged a concert over at Chatswood, which raised a good sum of money for us. All the usual headaches of fundraising. But we manage to stay afloat. As I say, we chug along.
So these marvellous volunteers of yours, they also cover the cost of their part of the trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Say of a trip like to Darwin and back, we take in fuel, insurance, a bit of extra food and all that type of thing, and then we divvy it up between the whole group, that's carers and the people that go, and they got to Darwin and back for $550 for a three-week trip.
Yes, that's marvellous. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, it's all madness.
If a listener wanted to join you on a trip as either a passenger or a volunteer, carer, how can they contact you and find out more about Freedom Across Australia?
Well, basically, just go to our website, which is faa.org.au, have a read through it, browse through it, and if they're interested, just contact the people who listen on the contact there. Long Distance Tours is Harry Brindley and myself for the others. faa.org.au, and if they're interested, either as volunteers or partaking, we're happy to hear from them.
John, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we can only wish you the very, very best in the future. I think you're doing a marvellous job.
No, it's all madness, but it's good fun.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.